beginning of Parshas Truma, the Torah is requesting of Bnei Yisrael they should give donations for the Beis HaMikdash. Truma. Truma is a donation. There are different, there are two different types of Hekdash. There's Kedushas Berek Abayis, and there's Kodshei Mizbeach. These are two different dinim. Kodshei Mizbeach is, there are two kinds of Kodshei Mizbeach. One kind of Kodshei Mizbeach is Kedushas Hagufla Mizbeach. When you actually magdish a korban, Hareza Oyba, Hareza Shlamim, Hareza Chatas, Hareza Mincho, that has a Kedushas Hagufla Mizbeach, that you makriv it on the Mizbeach. At the beginning of Parshas Truma, the Torah is requesting of Bnei Yisrael they should give donations for the Beis HaMikdash. Truma. Truma is a donation. There are different, there are two different types of Hekdash. There's Kedushas Berek Abayis, and there's Kodshei Mizbeach. These are two different dinim. Kodshei Mizbeach is, there are two kinds of Kodshei Mizbeach. One kind of Kodshei Mizbeach is Kedushas Hagufla Mizbeach. When you actually magdish a korban, Hareza Oyba, Hareza Shlamim, Hareza Chatas, Hareza Mincho, that has a Kedushas Hagufla Mizbeach, that you makriv it on the Mizbeach. Then there's a Kedushas Damim Lamizbeach. A person sets aside money, and he designates this money as Kodesh. He puts aside $100 in order to buy Korban Oyba. Let's say he goes to the store, he gets a Korban Oyba for $90. What does he do with the leftover $10? So that's called Moisar Oyba. So Moisar Oyba there, Moisar Oyba. Moisar of all Kachi Kachim is Korav Oyba. That a person set aside $100 to buy a korban chatas, even chal shabbos b'shoyge, or yet chel v'dam b'shoyge. So he sets aside $100, and then he succeeds in buying behemoth for $90. What do you do with the leftover $10? So there's a Mishnah Shkolin that says this is medrash dorish Yehoyada Hakoyin. It was a biblical figure known as Yehoyada Hakoyin. He's in the Haftorah of Parsha Shkolim, I think. So the Mishnah in Shkolin comments on that parsha that he developed a din of Torah Shebal Peh, that any money that's left over from any of the kachi kachim, Moisa Chatas, Moisa Oila, Moisa Mincha, Moisa Osha, any money left over goes to buy Oilas. Oilas Lekaitz on his bear. So that's the money that you set aside to buy a korban from it, that's kachim his bear, but it's not Kedush Sagovlam his bear, that's Kedush Sagovlam his bear. And then there's a totally different fund that's not Kodesh Mizbeach at all. That's known as Kodesh Berek Abayis. If you donate money to build, they build, they need walls, they need paint, they need bricks, whatever they need in the Beis HaMikdash. They need the structure, the Beis HaMikdash. So that money, those funds come from the donations that were given for Kodesh Berek Abayis. Where did the klisharis come from? In the Beis HaMikdash, they had different types of kelim. They had klei HaMikdash, which is the furniture of the Beis HaMikdash. You had the menorah is in a specific location, and the shulchan is in a specific location, and the mizbachos are in a specific location, and the kira in a specific place. So you have, let's say in any home, you have furniture that sits in a specific place, and then you have pots and pans, and you have forks and knives. So in the Beis HaMikdash, there were klei sharis that were used. They don't have any specific location. There were klei sharis that they were used. The knives in order to shech the karbonis and the kelim to do the kabbalas adam and the halachas adam and all the other kelim. So that's one type, this klei sharis. And then there's klei hamikdash, the kelim that constitute the furniture of the Beis HaMikdash, that you fulfill the mitzvah of the asuli mikdash, more bishleimuso. If you have a Beis HaMikdash with its kelim, this is the completion of the mitzvah of the Osoli Migdosh. There's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. It's one of the Taryag mitzvahs HaTorah. That's what the Gemara considers this one of the Taryag mitzvahs. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and the Rambam quotes this Gemara, Gemara Sanhedrin Dav Chof on the base. Gimel mitzvahs, then Stavi Yisol Bich Nisosim Lo Oretz. When Bnei Yisol entered Eretz Yisol, they became obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs in this specific order. First, the Lahamed Lahamelach, to establish a Jewish government. Then the Lahakri Zarish Alam Molech, and then Livnus Lahem Beis Abkhira. So the Raman quotes that in Hilchus Malacha. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the context of the Dine Melech. So you have a mitzvah to build a Beis Abkhira, and the Raman writes, the mitzvah to build a Beis Abkhira is fulfilled Bishlei Muso if you have all of the furniture of the Beis HaMikdash. So what funds do you take the money from for the purpose of purchasing the klei hamikdash, or for the purpose of purchasing the klei sharis? So the Gemara in Ksubas Dav Kuvav on the base quotes a braisa which distinguishes that the klei sharis are for the purpose of hakrovas korbanos. So that money has to come from kachay, from the machtes hashekel money. That should come from the Machta Sashekel. Well, the Machta Sashekel was every year Bnei Yisrael had two different Machta Sashekels here that are mixed up. Rashi writes in the beginning of Parshas Truma that it says three times the word Truma, and one of the three Trumas was the Machta Sashekel. So there were two different Machta Sashekels. The Machta Sashekel that was brought every single year that everyone had to participate in, all the men had to participate in, that Machta Sashekel was for the purpose of purchasing the Karbonas Tzibur. The minimum stuff that was brought every day had to be purchased dafka from Machta Sashekel. And if you have a wealthy person and he wants to sign out a check for $5 million to cover all the expenses of the Karbonas Tzibur, so you're not Yoytze. The Mishnah records that was one of the big disputes between the Tzdukim and the Prushim. The Shnayis don't quote, they say there was always a fight, doesn't quote so many Machlekesim between, I think there were only 10 that are quoted in the Gemara. But that was one of the 10. Machlekesim between the Tzdukim and the Prushim. One was on Yom Kippur, how you do their Karbonas, in which order. One was on Shavuos, where the Shavuos is always on an extended weekend, always on a Sunday. And the Christians carried over their Pentecost always on a Sunday, the holiday of the 50th day. That was a carryover from the Tzdukim in the days of the Bai Sheni. And one of the machlokes in Mikudin and the Mishnayis is, can you have a private person fund all the Karbonas Tzibur? So the Tzdukim said, why not? If you don't get one person to pay all the money, so then you have to have a development department and a vice president for fundraising, and you have to go schnorr money from all over. But if you get one guy to give $5 million, so your problems are solved. So what's the problem? And the halacha says that it's not acceptable, that the Karbonas Tzibur, it's not called a Karbon Tzibur unless it's paid for by the entire tzibur together. Everybody has to participate. That's the Machta Sashekel. Then Rashi says there was another Machta Sashekel. That Machta Sashekel is Kedushas Damim LaMizbeach. They're going to use that Machta Sashekel to purchase Karbonas from it. It's not Kodesh Berek Abayis. Kodesh Berek Abayis is the other Machta Sashekel. That everybody gave a Machta Sashekel, Bekal HaGolgoles, and they made the Adonim from that. That was Kodesh Berek Abayis. That was Mamish, the structure of the Mishkan was the Adonim. That was part of the structure of the Mishkan. So there were two Machtas HaShekels that Rashi speaks of over here. One was Kodesh Berek Abayis and one was Kodesh Mizbeach. So here the Gemara Kuvav on the base quotes a Braisa that distinguishes between the furniture of the Beis HaMikdash, the Klei HaMikdash, as opposed to the Klei Sharis. The Klei Sharis were purchased from Machtas HaShekel money, just like all the Karbonas Tzibur. Of the Machta Sashekel money, so the klisharis is letzorech avoda. That's what the Gemara has on the top line of Kuf Boy Minei Rapune Meirav. The top line of Kuvova Mebeis and Ksubis klisharis Mao Sheiros Mikotche Berek Abayis. Do you use Berek Abayis money, or do you say no? You use Machta Sashekel money because it's letzorech hakabonis. So the Gemara quotes a brisa that says beferish the klisharis are supposed to be purchased from Machtas HaShekel money. Hashenik can Klei HaMikdosh, so it says Klei HaMikdosh, the Lishkos, or Azorois, and the Klei HaMikdosh come from the Berek HaBayis money. It's a different fund, two different funds. Interesting, the Gemara has that brisa, the Gemara quotes, draws a distinction between the Mizbach. There were two Mizbachis in the Beis HaMikdash. There was the Mizbach HaKtores, that was the Mizbach HaZov, that was in the Hechol, and then there was the Mizbach HaOla, that was the Mizbach HaNechoshes, that was on the outside, in the Azor. That was for all the Korbanos were brought, Korban Yochid, Korban Tziv, everything was brought on the outside Mizbeach. And the Mizbach HaKtores in the Hechol was only for Ktores every day. You're not allowed to use it for any other Karbonis except once in a long while on Yom Kippur, Achas Bashana, you do the Zvikas Adam there, special unusual cases. And the outside Mizbeach was for all the daily Karbonis, all the regular Karbonis. So the Gemara in Zvachim draws a contrast between the two. The Gemara says that the Mizbach HaNechoshes, the Mizbach HaOla outside was Mechuba LeKarka. It was attached to the ground and therefore it had it in like Binyan. It's considered part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what the Braisa says over here, that the Mizbach HaOla had the same status like the Lishkos and the Azaros, that it has to be purchased from Berek HaBayis funds. Because that the Mizbach HaOla is part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. as opposed to the Mizbah HaKtoris, which was inside the Mizbah HaZahav, the Gemara says that was not Mechuba the Karka. So that had the status like a Kli Sharis. So that's put together in the Brisa, and the Mizbah HaZahav with the Kli Sharis have to be purchased from Machtas HaShekel money. There is a Machlokes HaTanoim in the end of Menachos. People are more familiar with this Machlokes HaTanoim from Sukkot. In the beginning of Maseches Sukkot, the Gemara quotes this Machlokes HaTanoim. There are three types of Amas. There's an Amma, an Amma is a measuring distance. So there's an Amma Bas Chamisha Tvachim, an Amma Bas Shisha Tvachim, and an Amma Bas Shiva Tvachim. So the Amma Bas Shisha Tvachim, that's what we used to. Whenever we talk about Adal Ramas and Eser Ramas, and whenever we talk about Amas, we talk about an Amma that has the six Tvachim. A Tefach is like this, come on top, and then two Tvachim, three Tvachim, they have six Tvachim in a row. That's called an Amma. So the Mishnah is that's called an Amma Beinonis. That's a medium size Amma, because there's an Amma that only has five Tvachim, then there's an Amma that has seven Tvachim. So the Mishnah has a machlokes between Rabbi Meir, the Gemara has a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda regarding the Amas and the Beis Hamikdash. Some of them were Amma Bas Chamisha Tvachim. Here it says all the measurements of the Mizbeach and the Menorah and everything. So the question is, when the Chumash gives you all the measurements in the terms of Amas, are these Amas five Tvachim or six Tvachim? None of them are seven Tvachim. Seven Tvachim is for other purposes. But some of them are five, some of them are six. So there's a fundamental machlokes that's quoted in the main place where it's discussed is the end of Maseches Menachos. But it happens to be referred to here in the beginning for a certain purpose. You must try to establish how do you know that a sukkah has to be 10 tvachim tall. If the sukkah is lower than 10 tvachim, it's no good. So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara pulls in this machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yudit. That's on Daf Heyam and Beis and Sukkah. So Rav Meir's opinion is that most of the Amas that we're dealing with in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash are Amas of 6 Tvachim. He agrees that some of them are 5 Tvachim, but most of them are 6 Tvachim. And Rav Yudah disagrees. Rav Yudah, usually we pass, Rav Yudah says that there's a difference between an Amas Shal Binyan and an Amas Shal Kelim. Whenever the Din is speaking about Amas of a Binyan, of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, that's from Berek HaBayis money, that's 6 Tvachim. Whenever it's talking about an Amas Shal Kelim, Klisharis, Kelim that are not Mechubel HaKarka, that's an Amma of 5 Tvachim. So Rashi writes there in Menachos, Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, where this Machlokes originates. So Rashi writes that according to Rav Yudah's opinion, which should be the accepted opinion, Amer Rav Yudah Halachik Rav Yudah, it's interesting, all these Tanaim lived after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, so they always have Machlokes in about how the Karbonos were offered. None of them saw the Beis HaMikdash. You don't have any records from the time of the Beis HaMikdash as to having any machlokes, here and there. But mainly the machlokes in our, how big the rooms were in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have any tradition, so they had a machlokes. So these Tanaim, they all lived after the Churban HaBayis. So according to Rabbi Yudah, there's a difference between an Amma Shal Binyan and an Amma Shal Kelim. An Amma Shal Binyan is Shisha Tvachim, an Amma Shal Kelim is Chamisha Tvachim. So Rashi writes there in the end of Menachos, it'll happen achkemina regarding between the Mizbach HaKtoris and the Mizbach HaOlam. Rashi writes the Mizbach HaKtoris is a Kli, so the measurements, the minimum size mentioned in the Chumash, will be an Amma Bas Chamisha Tvachim, according to Rabbi Yudah. But the Mizbach HaOlam, on the outside, that has the status of Binyan, and the Amma Shal Binyan is supposed to be an Amma Bas Shisha Tvachim. That's where Rashi points out in Menachos, that's considered a double portion. There is a din, the Gemara in Chulin, the Gemara in Sukkin, the Gemara in Chulin quotes a pasuk from Divrei HaYomim that David HaMelech was given by the Novi Megillah B'Ksav about how to build the Bayis Rishon. And then he was very interested in building it, and then the Novi told him, you have no permission. So he had to transmit this Megillah B'Ksav to his son, to Shlomo HaMelech. And he says there, Hakol Biksav Miyad Hashem Alai Haskel. Everything was written down exactly all the measurements. And the Gemara understands from that pasuk, Hakol Biksav Miyad Hashem Alai Haskel, you're not allowed to tamper with the measurements of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. It was Biksav from the Navi, Biruach HaKodesh, Benevuah, and you're not allowed to change it. So the Pashtus and the Gemara, you get the impression that Hakol Biksav only applies to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't necessarily apply to the Caliph, it applies to the building. And nonetheless, the Gemara in Chulin, in the first daf in Perek Kisui Adam, the Mishnah says that Mitzvah Kisui Adam only applies when you shech behemas Chulin. When you shech Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no din of Kisui Adam. There's no Kisui Adam on behemas Bechlau, only on Eifes, on Chayis and Eifes. When you shech behemas Bechlau, there's no Kisui Adam, only shech in Chayi V'yoy. So in the Beis HaMikdash, most of the Korbanos were behemas, they're not Chayis. But there were Korbanos that were Eifes. So the question, Oilosoyv, Chatnosoyv, so when you shecht an Oilosoyv, a Chatnosoyv, is there a mitzvah Kisei Adam? So the Mishnah says no, Kisei Adam is only Bechulin and not Bumukdoshim. So the Gemara has a whole discussion in the first daf in Per Kisei Adam, Yen the Masechas Chulin. Why is that so? How do you know that it's true? So the Gemara says, first makes a discussion, well, how are you going to do Kisei Adam? You're going to throw sand on the Mizbeach and then you're going to do the Zvikas Adam. Then you're going to throw sand on top of that. You have to have Ofim Lamaila, Ofim Lamata. So the Gemara says, wouldn't that be a violation? They're talking about the Mizbach HaOlo, on the outside, the Mizbach HaNechoshim. So the Gemara quotes that pasuk, HaKol B'Ksav, Niyad Hashem Alay Haskil, that if you were to add on sand, that would be bottle. Are you only putting the sand temporarily? Or you plan to leave the sand there permanently? So if you're going to leave the sand there permanently, then this will be a violation of HaKol B'Ksav, Niyad Hashem Alay Haskil, because you're changing the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara assumes, see, the top of the table here is not the ground level. The ground level is over here where my feet are. And the table is not attached to the ground, but the Mizbach HaOla is attached to the ground. So the top of the Mizbach HaOla is considered the floor. And the Kohanim walk on it. Some Meshuganim may walk on the table also, but the table is not attached to the floor, so the ground level is over here. This is the floor. But in the Mizbach HaOla, because it's attached, the Halacha says that the ground level is the top of the Mizbach HaOla, Mizbach HaNechoshes outside. So the Gemara says if you're going to add on some sand on top, you're being Mishana the Tzura of the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say if they would make such a thing on the Mizbach HaKtoris, that wouldn't be a violation of HaKol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Alay Haskel. HaKol B'Ksav Al Pi Pashtus, that Pasuk Divrei HaYomim only applies to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. People often get confused. In yeshivas, they don't when they don't learn kachim, so sometimes they get confused between kedushas damim la mizbeach and kedushas berak habayis. These are two totally different things. Kedushas berak habayis goes to clean up, paint up, fix up for the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't go on karbonis. Kedushas damim la mizbeach goes only for karbonis. And the Bryce, interesting, the Bryce and Kruvav and Beis draws a distinction between the Mizbach HaKtoris and the Mizbach HaZohav. That the Mizbach HaZohav has the status of a Klishare, so all the Klishare should be purchased from Machtas HaShekel money. That was the suffix on the top line of Kruvav and Beis. So in the middle of the daft, they quote the Bryce, that it comes from Machtas HaShekel money. Sarach Karbonis, Mizinaki Karbonis. As opposed to Mizbach HaOilo, that's considered, that's attached to the ground, that's considered part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Lishkas and the Azaras have to be paid for by the, from the Berak HaBayis money. But we started before another thing, that there are two types of Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mizbach HaKtoris outside is not a Kli, that's Mechubel HaKarka. The Mizbach HaKtoris inside is a Kli, but it's not a Kli Shoris, you can't call it a Kli Shoris. It's one of the pieces of furniture, the Beis HaMikdash, that has the Mokum Kavua. So like the menorah, or like the shulchan, these are Klei HaMikdash. This is the furniture of the Beis HaMikdash. The Klei HaMikdash have a Mokum Miyuchad, as opposed to the Klisharis have no Mokum Miyuchad. There are other differences between Klisharis and Klei HaMikdash. The Gemara says, towards the end of Zvachim, the Gemara says in the Beis HaMikdash, everything has to be done in a very classy fashion. So the Gemara says, "Ein aniyus b'mokam ashiris." You're not allowed to act in the Beis HaMikdash like kapzonim, like poor paupers would act. So let's say sometimes you have a pot, and the people can't afford to buy a brand new pot. So sometimes you have a big soup pot, and it gets a hole in it, a hole in the bottom. So if you can afford it, you throw out the old pot in the garbage and you buy yourself a new pot. And the poor people can't afford it, so they go to the hardware store and you buy a latte. You buy a gadget that attaches to the hole in order to patch up the hole. So the Gemara says in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to do that. Because you're not allowed to act as if an Israel can't afford. Everything has to be done like Ashir. So any keli that gets broken, they just discard it. Nonetheless, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, when you have the Mizbech as Nifgam, so you fix it. So why do you fix it? Why don't you just throw out the whole thing and start anew? So the answer is, even wealthy people, when their furniture get, when a dish breaks, so they're not going to glue it together. A pot that develops a hole, they're not going to go to the hardware store and put on a patch on the pot. They're going to throw out the whole pot. But when a piece of furniture breaks, they're not going to throw out, unless it's old, but they're not going to throw out the furniture just because something breaks. They're going to get somebody to fix the furniture. When the wall cracks, they throw out the whole apartment. You build a new house. The house breaks, so you fix the house. So there seems to be a distinction between the Kli Shoris and the Beis HaMikdash and the Klei HaMikdash, the furniture of the Beis HaMikdash. That's not a violation of Ein Aniyus B'Mokam Ashiris. If it breaks, so the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, so you fix it. As opposed to the Kli Shoris, that's what the Gemara Zerachim says on Daf Peches, I think, that if it breaks, Kli Shoris Shenishburu, so you don't fix it, you just put it away and you make others instead, because Ein Aniyus B'Mokam Ashiris. There's another din the Gemara has in Rosh Hashanah and in Masechet Avodah Zarah. It's quoted in Yerideya in the middle of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So there's a pasuk, "Losase nita lehechesav lehizav losase lachem." So you're not allowed to make tzuris of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in that pasuk, "Losase iti." You're not allowed to make. Even not for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. The simple reading, "Losase nita lehechesav." Lehizav losaschan goes on Avodah Zarah. You make for yourself, you make for other people to worship it. So the Gemara says losasaniti can be read as another prohibition. What does it refer to? You're not allowed to make demus malachim. Losasan demus hamashin hamshamshin lefanai b'mader b'mader elyon hamshamshin lefanai b'morah. That's how the Gemara says losasaniti losasan demus hamashin hamshamshin lefanai b'morah. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says there's a mother Elyon and there's a mother Tachton. In Morom, up in the heavens above, there are two. A mother Elyon is the angel. So you're not allowed to make an image of an angel. You're not allowed to paint the picture of an angel. And then a mother HaTachton means in the heavens, not the heavens where the angels are, the heavens. You're not allowed to make a planetarium. You're not allowed to make the Mus Shemesh, the Yarech, the Kochavim, etc. You're not allowed to draw a picture. You're not allowed to develop a photograph of the sun, the moon, and the stars. There is a planetarium, you're permitted to visit it, but you're not allowed to make such a thing. The Gemara has it in Rosh Hashanah because the Mishnah says when the witnesses used to come to testify about Kiddush HaChodesh, so Rabbi Gamliel used to have Tzuris HaLavana. He had different images of Levanas, and he asked them, did it appear in this shape and that shape, what direction was it facing, in order to interrogate them, to make sure that, number one, that they're not lying, and number two, that they didn't have any mistake, that they don't have a hallucination. Maybe they saw something else, maybe they saw an airplane, and they thought that it was the Levanas. So he would show them different images and pointed in different directions. And Mar says, how is he permitted to make this the Mus Levana? If you have a prohibition, you're not allowed to make. The Mus Hamasha Hamshamshin Lefanai Bamodar, that's Mother HaTachton. Hamshamshin Lefanai Bamorom. So that's the sun, the moon, and the stars, that's called Mother HaTachton. And the angels, that's called Mother HaElyon. And then the Gemara has another level of interpretation in the pasuk, and these are all biblical prohibitions. Losasaniti, you're not allowed to make a replica of the rooms of the Beis HaMikdash or the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So no one is allowed to make a room that's the exact same size as any of the Lishkos in the Beis HaMikdash. The Hechol, the Azara, the Kodesh HaKodesh, you're not allowed to make a room exactly the same size. Nor is one permitted to make a Shulchan, Tavnis Shulchan, Menorah, Tavnis Menorah, or anything like that. The klisharis, you are permitted to imitate. If you would know what they would look like, what's wrong? Can't make a knife that looks like a knife that was used as a klishar? A knife is a knife. What's the difference? No, but a shulchan, a menorah, that's klei hamigdosh, that's the furniture of the Beis HaMikdash. So the prohibition is that you're not allowed to make anything that's a replica of the rooms of the Beis HaMikdash, or a replica of the furniture of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a special din that only applies to to the Klei HaMikdash, doesn't apply to the Klei Shoris. An Eretz Yisrael is taka question. So I remember several years ago, a few people came from Eretz Yisrael with a big thing. I forgot already which Klei Shoris it was, and they wanted to visit Rabban Soloveitchik, and they wanted his blessings. So they wanted me to go with them. So we went to the dormitory room, And then they gave a presentation, they showed what they had, what they brought with them, and then they said what else they're making, and showing. And Rav Aaron sat there, and he listened. And then after they left, so he said, it's Anissa. So he asked them, why didn't you tell them? That's what they came for. They wanted to know whether it was awesome. He thought that you're not allowed to. They assumed that it's permissible because they're preparing it for the Beis HaMikdash. They're not going to use it, they're not making a replica to keep for their own purposes. They hope and pray that the Beis HaMikdash will be built. They're going to use these kelim. So to prepare it for the Beis HaMikdash, they think is mutter. And Avraham Soloveitchik said, it's asa. But the Rav and he said, but I don't know why he didn't tell him. I didn't understand. So again, so the beginning of the Sedra speaks about the Yikhli Truma, the donations to the Beis HaMikdash. These donations, Rashi says, it says Truma three times. So some of the donations that they gave were Machdus HaShekel, money, Kachim Mizbeach, Kedushas Damim LaMizbeach, even donations. They're not giving the actual carbon itself, so it's a Kedushas Damim LaMizbeach. And some of the donations were Kedushas Berek HaBayis. Berek HaBayis is always Kedushas Damim. There's never any Kedusha Guf LaBerek HaBayis. It's not that you donate money that Kedushas Damim LaBerek HaBayis, and then when you actually build the walls, that's actually Kedushas Berek HaBayis. Now, even when you build the walls, it's also only Kedushas Damim. There's no such thing as the difference between Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Guf is only in Kedushas Carbon. LaMizbeach. In Kedushas Berek HaBayis, everything is Kedushas Damim. There is no Kedushas Guf. So the Pasuk requires the various donations, two different types of donations. And for the three different things, for the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash, and for the Klei HaMikdash, and for the Klisharis. If you look in the Rashi on the Pasuk, V'chein Ta'asu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yosel LeMikdash K'chol HaShe'a Ani Ma'arech, V'Estav Nisko K'Lov, V'chein Ta'asu. So Rashi here has, V'chein Ta'asu L'Doyreis, when you have to make Klei HaMikdash, or you have to make Klisharis. Rashi writes either. V'chein Ta'asu goes on all the Kelim. But you'll have to make new klisharis or new klei hamikdash. You should make it in accordance with the regulations that I'm telling you now. So there are different types of kelim. In the Midbar, they were traveling around. There were so many different masoids. They kept on. There were mem-based masoids, and the Mishkan kept on traveling from one place to the other. Now the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim regarding the kedushas beis hamikdash for the kitchelosi lavoi, a lot kitchelosi lavoi. Here in the Midbar, no one has a havmina to think that every single location, well, all the 40 years and the 39 years, they built the Mishkan the year after. They built it the second year after Yitzias Mitzrayim. The year after Yitzias Mitzrayim, they built the Mishkan. So no one has a havmina to think that every location where the Mishkan was Kitchelasi Lovai. I had a Kedushas Beis HaMikdash Le'olam Vo'ad. Why is it only a Machlokes in Yerushalayim? The answer is because this was not a Beis HaBchirut. This was not a Beis HaLamim. This was a Beis HaMikdash. So when the Beis HaMikdash is here, it has Kedusha. When we move away, so there's no more Kedusha. In Yerushalayim, the Psukim in Navi and in Divrei Yomim, the Rambam quotes the expressions HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zos ben chosri adayad, po eishit ki ivi siyo. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this is where he wants the Shechina to be, li'olam vo'ed. He doesn't want to have, after he chose Yerushalayim, Mishinivcha Yerushalayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu said he's not going to have not going to permit them to make a Beis HaMikdash anywhere else. This is the ultimate location. So that's why there's a machlekes, whether the kitchen lost in love or not, whether the Kedusha remains forever or not. But before the days of Yerushalayim, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, but the Mishkan and the Midbar. So Milchatchila, when they would make the Mishkan, it was only there temporarily. It was never intended to be there permanently. So then there's no machlokes at all. Everybody agreed that it was only l'shaito. The Kedusha was only l'shaito. And they planned to move on. Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim had a double status. It had the status of Beis HaMikdash and it had also had the status of Beis HaLamim. The Beis HaBechira. Beis HaBechira means chosen forever and ever. Beiras Techli Le'olam, when you get married. They say Beiras Techli Le'olam. You're getting married to the girl forever. You can give a get, but until you give the get, it's Le'olam. It's not, you can't just say Hari Emu Kodeshes Li for a month. And then the marriage should disappear into thin air. The Gemara says in the Dorim that it's interesting. In Kiddushin, the topic is not discussed. Masechet Kiddushin. You learn the whole Kiddushin, the topic doesn't come up. It comes up a little bit in Gittin, and the main sugi is in the Dorim, of all places. that if a man is Mekadosh and Isha only for a month, and after the month is up, the Kedushin should disappear. So the Gemara says, Kedushin is like Paka Bechdur. The Kedushin is going to remain forever. So that's what Bechira is all about. Bechira means that this, to the exclusion of all others, this is chosen forever. So Yerushalayim had the full Bechira, that there's an Isa Bonus, Karbonus only in Beis Hamikdash, to the exclusion of all other locations. And this is forever. We don't allow, no other place will be chosen after Yerushalayim. Prior to Yerushalayim, they kept on moving the Beis Hamikdash from place to place. In the Midbar, he said that they kept on moving. The Mem Beis Matur. The Mishkan Shiloh had a partial Bechira. The Pesukim and Parshas Re'eh have twice. Hamakom Shivcha Hashem Mikol Shivtechem is the second time. It's, the first time it says Hamakom Shivcha Hashem, and the second time it says Hamakom Shivcha Hashem Mikol Shivtechem. So Rashi writes that the reason why it's written twice is the first Bechira goes on Mishkan Shiloh, and the second Bechira goes on the Beis Ha'ilomim in Yerushalayim, because Shiloh was not forever. Shiloh was only a partial Bechira in that it was to the exclusion of all other places. There was an Isa Bamis when Mishkan Shiloh was standing. But after Mishkan Shiloh was Charev, after the Churban Mishkan Shiloh, so then there was a Heta Bamis again. But Yerushalayim had the full status of Bechira. Full status means, Bechira means to the exclusion of all others. There was an Isa Bamis, Bizman, Hamigdash, and Yerushalayim, and then there was, it was Leoilam. The Bechira was forever. But that's why in Parshas Re'eh, when the mitzvah is repeated, here it says Vasile Migdosh. This is only a Migdosh. It's not a base of Bechira, not a base of Lomim. And the mitzvah there, the Sheikh Mesidushu Vasa Shama, that's in Parshas Re'eh, by building a base of Bechira, is written twice. Base of Bechira appears twice in Re'eh. And Rashi comments in his commentary on Chumash, the first time goes on Mishkan Shiloh, the second time goes on the Beis Ha'ilomim. So the Beis HaMikdash had both the status of Beis HaMikdash and the status of Beis HaBchira. There is a Gemara in Zvachim Adav Chav Dalim and Aleph, the Gemara says that the Gemara has a suffix. When Dovid HaMelech was Mekadosh the Mitzvah Sa'azara, was he only Mekadosh the upper level? Let's say someone will remove a brick from the floor of the Azara, and the Kohen will stand on the, they'll remove a whole bunch of bricks, and the Kohen will be standing on the dirt floor. So that's a few inches lower than where the Azara was supposed to be. It was supposed to be on top of the bricks. So is that acceptable? When David was Mekadosh the Azara, did he have a mind to be Mekadosh this latitude and longitude, even lower down? Or did he only have a mind to be Mekadosh the upper level, the ground level, and slightly below? If you remove the bricks and you'll be slightly below, so the Kohen will not be able to do the Avodah. Gemara has a deal. So the Tosis points out, what do you mean Kikadosh David? How could David be Mekadosh the Azara? The Navi told David he's not permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says in Shavuos, he can only be Mekadosh the Beis HaMikdash at the time of Binyan. So if he didn't do the Binyan, how can he do the Kiddush? That's why the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, when the Rambam writes, you build the Beis HaMikdash and you Mekadosh it b'shas Binyan, and Shlomo HaMelech was Mekadosh the Bais Rishon. Rambam writes before, Shlomo HaMelech was Mekadosh. What do the Gemara? The Gemara says that David HaMelech was Mekadosh. Kikadosh David. Araris Tehoi Mekadosh. Was he Mekadosh the whole latitude, longitude, even lower down below the upper level of the bricks? Or was he only Mekadosh the upper level, the floor level on top of the bricks? So Chastira, between the Rambam and the Gemara, who is Mekadosh it? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. There may be, there are two different dinim. Maybe David was Mekadosh the Mokam HaMikdosh B'Toras Beis HaBchirim. But the Torah's Beis HaMikdash, that came later. That halacha says, Ein Mekadshim es HaMikdash ela b'shas binyan. So that aspect of the Kedushas HaMikdash had to be endowed by Shlomo HaMelech, because he's the one who did the actual binyan. And maybe David HaMelech, but the Gemara speaks about David HaMelech being Mekadosh, maybe he endowed the Makom with the status of Beis HaBchira. Because he was told by the Navi that this, the Gemara says the whole story in Zvachim on a different daf, not a Chavdal HaMelech. The Gemara says around daf Samach, that we learned from the pasuk l'shich n'sidushu v'asa shoma, when you're interested in building a Beis HaMikdash, the Rabbanim should try to figure out on their own where they're supposed to build a Beis HaMikdash. They have to have Amol L'shal Torah to work hard, and after they think that they have the answer, then they should consult with the Navi to check it out to see if it's correct. They shouldn't pasuk on their own, and they shouldn't ignore working on it. They shouldn't just go to the Navi right away. They should try to work on their own, and after they come to their conclusion, then they have to check it out with the Navi. That's what David HaMelech did. The Gemara interprets Pesukim in Sefer Shmuel like that. David HaMelech was working on the issue, where should we build the Beis HaMikdash, because the Pesukim say the Rayomim. Every time he was victorious in battle, and he would win, he would gain all the precious metal from the enemies, the gold and the silver and the copper, he would be Makdash everything for the Beis HaMikdash. He was preparing to build the Beis HaMikdash for many, many years. He was preparing. So then when he was finally holding by building Beis HaMikdash, he decided, the Stama must have had a committee of Rabbanim, the committee that's supposed to discuss the Makam HaMikdash, they discussed, they decided they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash in the location, the highest location above sea level in Eretz Yisrael. It makes sense. Beis HaMikdash Gavaya, it says Yerushalayim Gavaya Mikol HaRatzis. The Beis HaMikdash says, how does it say in the pasuk? Yipalim Mincha Dov Al HaMishpat, Indam Ledam Medin Eten Dimen, Kam Tovi Alisa Al HaMochem, Alam Mishat Beis HaMikdash Gavaya Mikol Eretz Yisrael. So he knew the pasuk in Chumash, he looked through the whole Eretz Yisrael. He determined that Ein Itim is the location, the highest location above sea level. So he said, that's what it says in the pasuk. You have to build the Beis HaMikdash in the highest location. And then, so that was the conclusion, that was the psak of the committee, of the Vaad, for the discussion of the Makam HaMikdash. Then the Halacha says you have to consult the Navi. He said they guessed wrong. It's supposed to be built in Yerushalayim, not in Ein Itim. Yerushalayim is not the highest location above sea level. Ein Itim is. So what happened? So Taisa says that Kasha, not Gemara, in Sanhedrin, the end of Sanhedrin. So the answer is Ein Itim is the highest location above sea level. And he thought that that's Pshat, Yerushalayim Gevaya, Beis HaMikdash has to be Gevaya Mekal Eretz Yisrael above sea level. And then he told him, no, it means Benegir to the, when you hold the globe, what do you hold on top? You hold Yerushalayim on top. It doesn't mean what's the highest, when it says Eretz Yisrael Gevaya Mekal Eretz, Eretz Yisrael is on top, it means on top. Eretz Yisrael is not higher than the Swiss Alps. It doesn't mean Eretz Yisrael is the highest elevation above sea level. There are other places that are higher. What it means, Eretz Yisrael Gevaya Mekal Eretz, means Al Pidin, when you hold the globe, you don't hold the North Pole on top, you don't hold the South Pole on top, you hold Eretz Yisrael on top. L'may Nafkemina? So, the Rishonim say Nafkemina for the international dateline. Nafkemina L'Alocha. So when you hold Eretz Yisrael on top, which part of Eretz Yisrael do you hold on top? So the Alocha says, you hold Yerushalayim on top. You don't, Ein Itim is the highest elevation above sea level. So that's what Davanel thought, that's Pshat. The Kamtavi Alisa L'Amokam means Makam HaMikdash has to be Gavoya, means the highest elevation above sea level. Then the Navi told him, no, that's not what it means. It means a different thing. So the Gemara says that he was working on the topic, and he thought to be Mekadesh, he chose Ein Itim. And then he consulted with the Navi, and the Navi told me, guess wrong, it has to be in Yerushalayim, not in Ein Itim. So then the Gemara says in Zrachim Daf, that's the Gemara in Zrachim Daf Samach. And then the Gemara says Zrachim Daf Chav Dalet, that he went ahead and he was Mekadesh the Makam of the Azara. So the Rambam says that Shlomo was Mekadesh, that means that's the other Kedusha. The Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash, like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it only had Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. It didn't have a status of Beis HaLamim. They knew for sure, this was not the, they knew they're going to be traveling for 40 years. For sure, this not, they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash is in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Loshon HaGemara. Gimel mitzvah, Stavisol b'chnisasam la'aretz. When you enter Eretz Yisrael, you become obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs. The first is Laham Lamelech, and then Lahak Mizarish Alamolech, and then Livnas Lahem Beis Abchirim. What do you mean Livnas Beis Abchirim? Shenichnusu La'aretz. That a mitzvah v'yosu le'migdash right away in the midbar. The answer is no, this is to build the Beis HaMikdash. But Livnas Lahem Beis Abchirim, that's the Loshon HaGemara, that's the Loshon HaRamam. Rambam's quoting the Gemara. The mitzvah to build the Beis Abchirim, that's only Mishenichnusu La'aretz. And that the Melech has to do with that. Laham Melech, Lahak Mizarish Alamolech, Livnas Beis Abchirim. That's what David was involved in, all of those. He was the Melech, he was the Malchus son of Cheres, and he wiped out Amalek, he was fighting against Amalek. So he was prepared to live in a space of Cheres. So that's what he made a committee, and they decided they're going to be Ein Itim, and then they consulted the Navi, and the Navi said, wrong, has to be Yerushalayim, and then he was Mekadesh Yerushalayim. So he only endowed it with Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. He didn't endow it with Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash, because the Navi didn't permit him to build it, and the Gemara says in Shavuos, that the Kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash is only B'Shaz Binyan. So he wasn't there B'Shaz Binyan. Pasuk lists off all the different materials which they needed, Zorba Chesed and Achoshes, etc. So one of the materials, one of the raw materials was Oros Tochoshim, the hide from a Tachash animal. What kind of an animal is this? So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Bamam Avlikin, that says that this is an animal that was only Lushor. The animal doesn't exist anymore. So if the animal doesn't exist, how can Tagmunkles give you a translation of what it is if it doesn't exist? So Rashi gives you a pshat. How can Tagmunkles identify if no such animal exists? It was only there to show. So Rashi gives you the Tagmunkles says Sasgona is not a name of an animal. It means Shesas Bigvanim Shalom. It has it's multicolored, and the animal is very. Enjoys very much the fact that it has a multicolored hide. But Sasgona is not a name of an animal. There is no such animal. It's a description of the animal. You can't have a name if the animal doesn't exist. That's what Rashi quotes from the Gemara. So then the Gemara in Bamei Medlikin, in the second parak in Shabbos, the Gemara has a question. This animal that was only there, the Shor, it doesn't exist any longer, didn't exist in earlier generations, doesn't exist in later generations. The Gemara wants to know, was it a kosher animal or was it a treif animal? So the Gemara says, no, it has to be a kosher animal. There's nothing to discuss. Why not? Because we have a halacha l'moshe m'sinai gemiri. The Gemara says, we have a tradition that l'huchshu l'malech shamayim alor behema torah bolvad. You can only use from a kosher animal. You can't use from a non-kosher animal. Then the Gemara asks, what do you need a halacha l'moshe m'sinai for? Isn't it a pasuk in Chumash? In the parsha of Tfilin. It says, so the Gemara has a drush. That's not the pshut to show, because the Gemara has a drush. That you can only write parshias of tefillin on a parchment that comes from a hide of an animal, which is a kosher animal. The hide itself is not edible. So the hide is from the hide from a non-kosher animal is not treif. It's not basar. The Sar Behemoth Tamei is treif. The Or, the Gidin, Kanaim, and the Tlofim is not included in the prohibition of the Sar Behemoth Tamei, because it's not Roil Achila. It's not Roil Amaychal Odom. But nonetheless, the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, L'manti Yoter Hashem Beficha, Min Amuta Beficha, the hide has to come from such an animal whose flesh it may be eaten. If the flesh may not be eaten, then you can't use that hide to write the Sefer Torah Tefillin and the Mezuzah Sar. So the Gemara asks, what do you need Allah HaMashi Misina? So the Gemara answers, no. Mantia Torah Hashem Eficha only applies and say, for Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah, where you're writing Torah. You're writing Divrei Torah. But over here, on the walls of the Mishkan, these are the walls of the Mishkan. Oris Choshim, so that's, you don't have any words from Tanakh written on that. So that's not Torah. So that's called Luhukshu L'malech HaShamayim. That's why we use the expression, Luhukshu L'malech HaShamayim. For religious purposes, you have to use that kor beimator. That's halacha moshe misina. If you're writing divrei Torah on the parchment, on the leather, then it has to come. Then it's a pasuk in chumash. Then it's learned out from the pasuk in chumash that it has to be from a kosher animal. But if you're not writing psukim, then it's not Torah Hashem. Then it's only known through halacha moshe misina. The Gemara says, what about the different parts of the tefillin? So the Gemara says, the klaf of the tefillin that has psukim written on it, that's Torah Hashem. The bayis shel rosh that has a shin on it, that's Torah Hashem, even though it's only a letter. Not only don't you have a whole parsha, you don't have a whole pasuk, you don't even have a whole word, you just have a shin. The Gemara says one letter is also Torah. There's a bigger mitzvah of Talmud Torah if you learn the Gemara with the Tosfos, with the Marsha, with the Rabbah, and with the Rav Shimon. But if you just learn one letter, that's it. If you can't go, that's all you have time for, is one letter shin. So that's also Talmud Torah, is also considered Torah. So the Gemara says, that's what it says in the Gemara. So the Bayis Shel Rosh only has a letter Shin on it, that's also called the Chetz of Torah. So the Bayis Shel Rosh has to be Min Amuta Beficha from a kosher animal, hide from a kosher animal, that's based on the drush of Torah Hashem Beficha. But the Ritzuas don't have any Oisias on them, so that's what the Gemara says, that's learned, that's... How do you know the Ritzuas of the Tefillin have to be from Mor, or Rabbi Kibegir adds on, how do you know the Bayis Shel Yad? Bayis Shel Yad doesn't have any letters at all on it, doesn't have a Shin, only Bayis Shel Rosh. How do you know the Bayis Shel Yad? How do you know the Ritzuas? Has to be more bein matara. So that's from the same halacha l'moshe misinai as over here. L'huch shel malach shamayim alor bein matara b'vad. Like we have established that the tachash must have been a kosher animal. Otherwise, they wouldn't. It means malager mafis paras. Otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed. They wouldn't have been permitted to use it for the mishkan because that's malach shamayim. So who had the nami the ritzuas of the tefillin and the bayis shel yad have the same status. That's a shaila. What if Diane Grossnuss from London, has a tshuva about this in his sefer. They made a fancy, expensive Aron Kodesh, and they want to spend a lot of money. Rich Balabatim want to pour in a lot of money in their Aron Kodesh. So they lined the inside of the Aron Kodesh with jet black leather, horse leather, from horses. So the shaila is the Sachat Tashmish Kedusha. Are you allowed to use horse leather? Horses are Behemet Tmeya. But the shaila is like this: the ritzuas have to be made from leather, and the batim have to be made from leather, the parshas have to be leather, the or techoshim has to be leather. So here there's a din, l'huksham l'achashmayim l'or behemet l'bavad. There's no halacha that says you have to have leather in the inside lining of the Aron Kodesh. You can have a wooden Aron Kodesh. It doesn't have to be from an animal at all. So that's an Aruch HaShulchan, has that Einfall. The Aruch HaShulchan has this, and then his son, the Torah Tmima, writes it on his own, without writing that his father said the same thing. And that's a Machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Tfilin. It says when you tie up, when you have the, in the Bayish HaRosh, you have Kadosh HaYekaviach HaShmalo, Yom Shema, each one of the Dal Parshis is wrapped up separately, and then you wrap it up with string. So if, when you wrap that up with string, that's not the Chorochas, the Siron. That is halacha Moshe Mistina. That's takedin. So that has to come from a kosher animal. But I already forgot. There's something over there that I think the minig is that you cover the parshios with another piece of parchment, which is not necessary. The minig is tam that you put in another piece of parchment. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. There's that parchment that's not required, but we put it in as a hidah mitzvah that it should be nicer. If you put something in as a hidden mitzvah, is that subject to the din that it has to be minamuta beficha? Has no debate. Torah written on it, so it's not Torah Hashem beficha, but does it have to be l'huchshim malach hashemayim b'lar be'im Torah b'vay? Because it doesn't require bechlal that it should be from an animal. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber and the Rambam quote a machlekes in Rishonim about that. So the Aruch HaShulchan Svare, which the Torah Tmima, the father and the son both say the same chiddush, that's really a, I don't know why they don't quote, that's a machlekes the Mechaber and the Rambam in Hilchas Tfilin. So that was the Shaila by the lining of the Aron Kodesh. There's a discussion also whether this Halacha L'Moshe Mitzvah applies only to Tashmishei Kedusha or even applies to Tashmishei Mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Shofar quotes the Ran on the Rif in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that a Shofar has to be from an animal. If it's man-made, if it's synthetic, it's no good. So the Shofar has to be from a kosher animal. You can't use a shofar from a non-kosher animal. The Be'er HaGoyla on the side of the Shulchan Aruch has the kasha that it doesn't exist. The Gemara says in Chulin that if an animal has horns that you can make a shofar from, it's a simen biyodua that it's a kosher animal. So how can there be such a hechatimtza as a shofar from a non-kosher animal? That's another discussion. The Be'er HaGoyla talks about that kasha, and the other Achaim talk about that. But the Ran has a chiddush that's quoted by the Ramon, Hilchas Shofar, that if you have a shofar from a non-kosher animal, it's not acceptable, it's not kosher for the mitzvah, because l'huchshu l'malach ha-shamayim and l'or b'ayim etor b'l'vat. So that Ran was the first one who came up with this einfall, with this chiddush, that this halacha of l'huchshu l'or b'ayim etor b'l'vat is not restricted only to tashmishei kiddushe, it even extends to tashmishei mitzvah. A shofar is tashmishei mitzvah. After Rosh Hashanah is over, if you want, you can throw the shofar in the garbage. It's not the same as a Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzahs or a Mentala of a Sefer Torah or a Tefillin Zekel or an Aron Kodesh that after you finish you're not allowed to throw it out. It's Nignozim. Tashmishei Kishan Nignozim, but Tashmishei Mitzvah on Izrokim. So a Shofar after Rosh Hashanah is a Tashmishei Mitzvah after the Zman HaMitzvah is up. So the Ran has this finish. Or HaShulchan claims that that's Pshat in the Rabbeinu Tam also. The Rabbeinu Tam in the end of Yevamos, there's a Perek Mitzvah Chalitza. Has all a self-contained parrot, has all the dinim of chalitza. How do you do chalitza? So the Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosfos in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza saying, chalitza shoe, the Gemara says, has to be made from leather, machlokes hatanoim. And we're machmer, the chalitza shoe has to be made from leather. The standard shoes that we wear today are horse leather. So Rabbeinu Tam says that that's not acceptable, because the horse is a non-kosher animal, it has to be or behemoth tahara. So that's also a chiddush. What does he mean? That's the din in leather shoes. So on Yom Kippur, you're permitted to wear leather shoes as long as it's not from a kosher animal. The Gemara says like this: how do you know that a shoe by definition means leather? And if you have slippers or sneakers, it's not called a shoe. So for Tisha B'Av and for Yom Kippur and for Avelis, And for chalitza purposes, all the same din. So the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk in Yecheskel, Be'enolech tochash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the way he took care of the Jewish people after they left Mitzrayim, and he bathed them, and he diapered them, and he smeared them with baby oil and baby powder, and he straightened out their limbs like a mother taking care of a little baby. The Jewish people were just born at that time. So the Pesukim give the Moshe like a mother taking care of a little baby, and then when the baby gets a little older, so the mother buys the beautiful clothing, and then it says, Ve'enolech tochash, and I put on nalayim, I put on shoes from tachash, from or tachash. That's how the Novi Yecheskel uses an expression. So the Tana that we paskin like, who says that it's only called shoes if it's leather, and if it's not leather, you're permitted to wear it on Yom Kippur, and it's not good for chalitza, learns it out from that pasuk in Yecheskel. Ve'enolech tachash, only tachash is called leather. Anything other than tachash is not called leather. So Rabbi Natan says, oh, tachash, the Gemara says, and Lema Madlikin, the tachash was a kosher animal. So the only time it's good for chalitza is if it's from a kosher animal. If it's horse leather shoe, it's not good for chalitza because a tachash has to be a kosher animal. So the Achranim ask, what do you mean? And on Yom Kippur, you're allowed to wear shoes that are made from horse leather. And on Tisha B'Av, and on Avelis, you're allowed to only from kosher animals. So Doruch HaShulchan says he doesn't think that the Rabbi Natan meant that that's what Rabbi Natan says. Tachash was a kosher animal. So the Doruch HaShulchan says he doesn't think that's what he was driving at. You're not allowed to wear horse leather shoes on Yom Kippur either. But he means for chalitza is a mitzvah. So that's it. Even though he didn't say that, he thinks that's what he certainly meant. Because chalitza is a mitzvah, it's not just a matir. So since you're using the shoe for the purpose of a mitzvah, so it's like a shofar. So the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran both have this chiddush. That this halacha l'moshe mesina that l'huchshuru l'malach ha-shamayim or l'arbeim atar b'lvad doesn't restrict itself only to tashmishei kedusha, it even extends to tashmishei mitzvah. It could well be that there are Rishonim who disagree. There's discussion. The Achrayim have discussions about this. We mentioned some of the clay hamigdosh, the furniture of the Beis Hamikdash. So we mentioned the Mizbach HaKtoris. The Mizbach Ohel is Binyan. The Mizbach HaKtoris is a kli. And the Shulchan and the Menorah. The Shaila is, what about the Orem? There's also Orem. I'd say Shittim. So it's interesting that when the Rambam in Hilchas Beis HaBchira describes the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, so you're right, you have to have a Harabayis, you have to have a Zara and a Heichal and a Kodesh HaKadoshim and a different, then he describes the Klei HaMikdash and he only describes the Kelim. He describes the Binyan and he describes the Kelim and he leaves out the Aron. He doesn't write the Aron there. So from the Rambam it would appear that he holds that the Yoron, there may be some who disagree, but from the Rambam it would appear that Sir Rav Moshe Soloveitchik wrote, that Sir Rav Yoshebe Soloveitchik wrote. So from the Rambam you get the impression that he holds that the Oron is not from the furniture of the Beit HaMikdash. The Oron is a different word. The Oron, like in the Bayi Sheni, the Oron wasn't there. The Oron was not there. And they still have they fulfill the mitzvah of Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Sefer Torah, at the end of Hilchas Sefer Torah, he says you have to show great kavod to the Sefer Torah. How do you know? So the Gemara in the end, the Makkos has the famous comment, there's a stira with two Gemaras. So the Gemara says, it says you have to stand up when the Talmud Chacham goes by, if they say go talk, and you have to be mechabed the Talmud Chacham. So if mipneilam deom di mipanel lekoshkin, you certainly have to stand up when the Sefer Torah is brought by. So the Gemara derives a kavachemer from that pasuk. You have to give kavod to a Sefer Torah. So the Rambam writes part of the mitzvah of giving kavod to the Sefer Torah requires that you should place the Sefer Torah in a makom miyuchad. Let's say sometimes people go away for a weekend and they borrow a Sefer Torah from the shul. And they leave it, they rent the place, and they leave it in the closet, in their bedroom, on the top shelf, and they put it in a drawer or something. So that's not kavod asef. The Rambam says you have to have, like, the Chevron Kadisha has a portable Aron Kodesh. So you should hold the Sefer Torah in an Aron Kodesh all the time. It doesn't have to be the Aron Kodesh that's attached to the wall. You can have a portable Aron Kodesh. So that's part of the din of kovet sefer. The Rambam says, and how do I know that that's so, that chelik of the kovet sefer? You have to stand up and sefer Torah. Okay, that they sefer tochum kavochaimer for the sefer Torah. How do you know that you need a mokam miyuchad for the sefer Torah? So the Rambam says that's what you see from the oron, that the oron only has in it the aseres hadibros, and you see you have to give kovet to the aseres hadibros by having an oron. So sefer Torah, which has the aseres hadibros plus much more, it's an interesting Rambam. Which has more kedusha, the aseres hadibros and the kodesh hakadoshim, or a sefer Torah here in the yeshiva? So the Rambam says sefer Torah has more. Which is worth more money? The aseres hadibros, that's the author's copy. The Rebbe Shlom, Amichta Michta Velakimu, the Rebbe Shlom authored that, Mom, she engraved it. So that's worth billions, it's priceless. How are you going to pay? It's not shy, that's worth much more. It's much more valuable, historically and everything. It's much more valuable than any Sefer Torah that we happen to have in a shul. But the Rambam says, as far halachically, speaking about which has more kedusha, so the Gemara says that that tefillin have more kedusha than mezuzah, because mezuzah only has two parshiyos. And the tefillin have those two plus another two. You have Kaddish HaKev Yachosh Mavo Yom Shemar. And the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than tefillin, because the tefillin only have four parshas, and the Sefer Torah has the four parshas plus much more. So the Rambam says any old Sefer Torah that you have anywhere in the world has more Kedusha than the Aseres HaDibros in the Oron HaBris. Why? Because any Sefer Torah has the Aseres HaDibros plus much more. It has the Aseres HaDibros as part of Parshas Yisrael. The Sefer Torah has from Bereshis till the end of Dvarim, including the Aseres HaDibros plus much more. So the Rambam says, if the halacha requires that you have to be mechabed the luchot, which only have the Aseres HaDibros in it, and you have to be mechabed in this fashion by having a mokam miyuchad, there's certainly more so a Sefer Torah. So the Rambam sounds very clearly in Hilchas Sefer Torah that he's saying that the function of the Aron is not to serve as one of the Klei HaMikdosh at all, but rather to be mechabed the to be mechabed the luchas, to be mechabed the sefer Torah. Abchaim Balozhin writes in Nefesh Achayim, he's explaining that Gemara Megillah, which quotes a braisa that distinguishes between Tashmishi Kedusha and Tashmishi Mitzvah. If you have a talis, an old talis that's worn out that nobody wants to wear, even if you give it to the gabbai in a shul, he doesn't accept it. It's too worn out, yellow and torn, and looks awful. So, or you have an old shofar that nobody wants to use. You have an old lulav, an old esrog that no one wants to use. So the din is you throw it in the garbage. It just says you shouldn't throw it together with the rest of the dirty garbage, with dirty diapers and with chicken bones. So you put it in a separate bin and then you throw it in the garbage. As opposed to tashmisha kedusha, if you have a sefer Torah tefillin of mezuzah which becomes puzzled and you can't fix it, or you have a tefillin zeko, or a parechis of an Aron Kodesh, or a mental of a Sefer Torah, something like that, or a gargle of a Sefer Torah, that has the status of Tashmishei Kedusha, and even if it can't be used anymore, so the Avodah requires that Nikudazim, you have to put it in the Shemus. So Chaim Elojan wants to know what's the key to determine what's Tashmishei Kedusha, and what's Tashmishei Mitzvah. So he says it's obvious from the Gemara, there may be Tanoim who disagree. The Ramban in the end of Moed Katan has a braisa, he says that there is a Tanu who argues by tzitzis. But the Rav Chaim Volozhin says the way it's always gepaskent in the Gemara and the Braisa in the Gemara and Megillah, the way we have accepted it, like that Braisa, is that tzitzis is Tashmishi Mitzvah, not Tashmishi Kedusha. So how do you determine what's Tashmishi Kedusha, what's Tashmishi Mitzvah? So he said the definition we used before, if it has Divrei Torah, if it has words of Torah on it, then it's Gufi Kedusha. The Ritzuis of the tefillin don't have any words of Torah at all, but that's also called Tashmishi Kedusha, because the ritzuas of the tefillin have a shaykhis to the parshias in the tefillin. So that's called Tashmishi Kedusha. The parsha itself, the klaf itself, is the gufi Kedusha, because that's the Divrei Torah on it. And the Nebayis Shal Rosh has the shin on it, that's a gufi Kedusha. Nebayis Shal Yad and the ritzuas, which don't have any oisias, they have no Divrei Torah, so that's Tashmishi Kedusha, because they're tofel to the Divrei Torah. But if you have tzitzis, or you have a shofar, or a lulav, or an esrog, that's only tashmishei mitzvah. So why does the Beis HaMikdash have kedusha? Well, you have words written on the walls, you don't have Divrei Torah, you don't have psukim written on the walls. So the answer is, but the whole essence of the Mishkan is Mishkan HaEdus, to house the Luchas HaEdus. So since the whole purpose, that's the Ramban, Achumish has a whole Arichas, that's what it sounds from the Rambam also, beginning of Hilchas Beis HaBchira, the whole essence of the Beis HaMikdash is to have a place to house the Luchos. So that's why the whole Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha, because it contains the Luchos in it. In the Bayi Sheni, the Luchos were not there. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaBchira writes, usually the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah only writes halachas. Once in a long while he'll write a little musa. He'll write, based on this halacha we should learn a musa haskam. Very rarely. But he doesn't put in history unnecessarily. See, here the Rambam writes a piece of history which we don't really understand. He says, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he built an underground wall to house the luchas when the time will come that they'll have to place them there. And the whole period of the Bayi Sheni, the luchas were there in that vault under the ground. The Gemara in Yuma has different ideas, different Tanaim have different suggestions where the Luchas were, so the Rambam adapts that position. So Rav Soloveitchik was wondering, why does the Rambam have to take a stand on this? You should put this in the Mor Nevuchim, put it somewhere else in the Pirush HaMishnayos. And the Yad HaChazak, he only writes Halachas, he only writes Dinim. So he had the impression that the Rambam was bothered with this Kasha. How did the second Beis HaMikdash have the status of Kedusha HaMikdash at all? If all in Yoni Kedusha, where Rav Chaim Volozhiner develops this, he said, all in Yoni Kedusha revolve about Divrei Torah. So the Mishkan that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu had the Luchas Eidus there. So it's called Mishkan HaEidus, because the essence of the Mishkan was the Luchas Eidus. Bais Rishon, they had also the Oren Kodesh with the Luchas, but the Bais Sheni didn't have. So how can you have a Kedusha's Bais Sheni if it didn't have the Luchas? So he thought that that's what the Rambam is coming to answer. That when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he was told, Hakul b'ksav mi'ar Hashem alai haskal, that was part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, to have a special vault under the ground to house the luchas, that the luchas were in the Beis HaMikdash, in the correct place. More correct would have been in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And second best, according to the plans, were, according to the initial plans that were given, Hakul b'ksav mi'ar Hashem alai haskal, that there's a second best location, where to place the luchas. For the whole period of the Bayi Sheni, the luchas were there. Then Rav Soloveitchik expanded on this theme. On another occasion, he discussed, how come there's such a concept as Kedusha Sa'aretz? Why does Eretz Yisrael have Kedusha? Well, why do they have Psukim written in Eretz Yisrael? So he thought that the Kedusha Rishon of Eretz Yisrael was accomplished through the Kibush. Kibush V'chiluk. The Chalukas Eretz Yisrael was the Gemara of the Kibush. So he said that the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael was accomplished by the Aron HaBris. The Psukim say in Yeshua that the Aron HaBris was Naseh Lefneim, and it knocked down all the enemies. So the Kedusha Sa'aretz, the first time around, the Kedusha Rishayna was accomplished through Torah Shebichzav, through the Aron HaBris, that had the Luchas with the Sefer Torah Shekasav Marsh. But then, alright, so that maybe that explains the Kedusha Sa'aretz, Bizman, the Kedusha Rishayna. But then, Bizman Bayi Sheni, when they came back, and if we assume that the Kedusha Sa'aretz was Torah Shebichzav. The Kedusha Shnia perhaps was Ayidei Torah Shebal Peh. And the Gemara says that Kimu v'kiblu, Kimu mashikiblu kvar. Medrash Tanchuma says that originally at Maimon HaSinai, they only were prepared to accept Torah Shebichzav. And only after the Nes Purim, which occurred prior to the Knesa Loretz, prior to the beginning of the Kiddush Eretz Yisrael for the second time around, that's when they're on the Kabbalah Torah Shebal Peh. So that's when he thought maybe the fact that they're on the Kabbalah Torah Shebal Peh, maybe the Kedusha's Torah Shebal Peh spilled over on Eretz Yisrael. Torah Shebichzav. The Kedusha Shnia perhaps was Ayidei Torah Shebalpeh, and the Gemara says that Kima v'kiblu Kima mashikiblu kvar. The Medrash Tanchuma says that originally in Maimon Har Sinai they only were prepared to accept Torah Shebichzav, and only after the Nes Purim, which occurred prior to the Knisa Laretz, prior to the beginning of the Kiddush Eretz Yisrael for the second time around, that's when they're mekabel the Torah Shebalpeh. So that's when he thought maybe the fact that they're mekabel the Torah Shebalpeh, maybe the Kedusha's Torah Shebalpeh spilled over on Eretz Yisrael. And then he added on, maybe that's the explanation as to why the Kedusha Rishayna lent itself to Churban and the Kedusha Shnia didn't lend itself to Churban, because the Kedusha Rishayna was accomplished with the Koyach of the Torah Shebichzav. The Torah Shebichzav is an object, a Sefer Torah that has words, that has Pesuk Mitnan. If you burn a Sefer Torah, so it's Charev. So just like the Torah Shebichzav lends itself to Churban, so the Kedusha Rishayna lent itself to Churban. But the Torah Shebalpeh is not a Chepetz, it's not an object, it belongs to the world of ideas. So just like Torah Shebalpeh doesn't lend itself to Churban, so too the Kedusha Shnia perhaps didn't lend itself to Churban. This was the theme of a Yortzeit Drasha on one occasion. The Chumash speaks about the different, so the question is, the Rambam seems to hold that the Oron was not from the Klei HaMikdash. Maybe that other Rishonim disagree. There is in Sefer HaMitzvahs also a discussion. Some of Farshim say the Rambam seems to say like that in Sefer HaMitzvahs explicitly, that the Aron was for the purpose of Kovedas Sefer Torah, Kovedas Aluchas. It's not from the Klei HaMikdash. The Klei HaMikdash are the Menorah and the Shulchan and the Mizbach HaKtoris. And the Mizbach HaOyla outside, that's part of the Binyan. So that's the Chumash has that first, the Aron. And the Chumash has the Dinim of the Shulchan. The Shulchan is for the purpose of leaving the Lechem HaPonim on it. And the Gemara says, why is it called Lechem HaPonim? It means that it has to have a specific shape. Lechem Panim Lefanai Sami. Rashi writes, Lechem Panim Sheyesh Lo Panim. Has a specific shape. What is that specific shape that the Lechem HaPonim is supposed to be in? So the Gemara in the end of Menachos has a Perek Shtei HaLechem, which speaks about the differences between Shtei HaLechem and the Lechem HaPonim. Shtei HaLechem was the korban that was brought on Shavuos. The Lechem HaPonim was placed on the Shulchan every Shabbos. Every Friday they would bake Lechem HaPonim. One Tana holds that you're allowed to bake Lechem HaPonim. Rav Blazer holds you're allowed to bake Lechem HaPonim on Shabbos. And Achshirei Mitzvah Derech HaShabbos. We don't pasken like that. We pasken that you bake it on Erev Shabbos. And if Erev Shabbos is Yontif, then you bake it on Thursday. And if it's 2 days Yontif in the Beis HaMikdash, once in a while they had 2 days Yontif Rosh Hashanah. So 2 days Rosh Hashanah fall out on Thursday and Friday, so then they have to bake the Lechem HaPonim on Wednesday. That's what it says in the Mishnais. So they would bake it sometimes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They would put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos and it would sit there for a whole week, and they take it off the next week. So this is all the dinim of the Lechem HaPonim are Perek Shtei HaLechem, towards the end of Maseches Menachos. So the Gemara there has a Machlekes HaMoraim. What is the none of them saw the Lechem HaPonim. None of the Tanoim saw the Tanoim and the Mishnais never saw the Lechem HaPonim. They were after the Churban Abayis. The Gemara has a question. They're not sure what it's supposed to look like. So one says it looked like a Spino Roketis. It looked like a canoe. A canoe that bobs back and forth in the water. And the other opinion in the Gemara is that it looked like a Teva Prutza. It looked like a trunk with four walls and a flat bottom and hollowed out in the middle. Hollow in the middle. Teva Prutza. An open trunk. My impression is that that's the reason why the minig is that there are two shapes of chalas for Shabbos. Because in Shulchan Aruch they quote from the Zohar that the chalas are zecher to the Lechem HaPonim. And that's why he says you have 12. There were 12 Lechem HaPonim, 2 maroches, 6 on each mareches. So just like there were 12 Lechem HaPonim, so too we have 12. But what do we have 12? So the Hasidim have, some Hasidim take 12 chalas. Some have a meaning that they make one gigantic challah which is made up of 12 little balls, and you can rip off separate balls and you have a sum total of 12. And the Vilna Gaon, who was anti-Hasidim, said that they all always, of course, they misunderstood the Zohar. Hasidim don't understand that that's all they do. The Gemara they don't learn, all they learn is Zohar. So the Vilna Gaon says, of course, they didn't understand the Zohar, and he said it means you have Yud Beis, you have 12 Chatzoyim. If you need Lechem Mishnah on Friday night, and you need Lechem Mishnah Shabbos morning, you need Lechem Mishnah by Shabbos Shudas, and he is Machmer, the Vilna Gaon said you should follow the Rashbo Shita, that you have to cut both Chavos for the Lechem Mishnah. You don't just cut one and put away the Shleimah. The one you don't cut doesn't count for the Lechem Mishnah. So So if you have six chalas, I'm told, you cut them all in half, so you have 12 half chalas. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says. It doesn't mean that at one given meal you have 12 chalas. It means the sum total of all the three meals, shalashudis, and you have lecha mishne each time, and you cut both chalas, so it'll add up to 12 chatzoi chalas. So since the Zohar makes such a statement that the chalas that we eat on Shabbos are supposed to be a zecher to the lechem aparim that they had in the Beis HaMikdash, I think that's why there are two customs how to make chalas. And some make the chalas like a canoe, with two points at either end and fat wide in the middle, looks like the shape of a canoe. And others have this section of chalas that look like a rectangular shape. That's kimin teva prutzo. It's hard to make with a hollow inside. It's too hard. So make a rectangular shape with the right angles, and that's a teva prutzo. And the svina or kedis are the section of chalas. And for yontif, you make circular chalas, because the chalas on yontif have nothing to do with the lechem aparim. On Shabbos, they did two minhagim. On yontif, has nothing to do with lechem aparim. Yontif is yontif. The Pasuk says that the lechem aparim should be lechem aparim lefanai samid. It should always be bitmidus on the shulchan. And the Mishnah has a, the Mishnah Menachos has a machlokes hatanoim. So one Tana insists that when you take off the old lechem aparim that was placed on last Shabbos, you take it off this Shabbos, they have a whole bunch of karm holding the new lechem aparim, and they place it on while the others are taking off the old one. Here, the Gemara says, Tivcha shel zev b'tzad tivcha shel zev. Mishnah says, their fist is right next to their fist. So you have Kohanim taking off this lechem aponim from last week. You have new Kohanim pushing on new lechem aponim. So the Shulchan will not be sitting even a reg echad without lechem aponim. As they're taking off the old one, the new one is placed on. So that's literally tamid. Lechem aponim lefanai tamid. And the other Tana says, nah, nish gefelach. Even if they take off the old lechem aponim shachris, and they put on the new lechem aponim arvis, and there's a gap of 10 hours in between, that's called tamid. Tamid means that the shulchan wasn't missing lechem aponim a whole day. Every day there was lechem aponim. Shabbos was taken care of, they put on the lechem aponim before the end of the day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos morning again, and then Shabbos afternoon, they put on the new lechem aponim, that's called tamid. That's the machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah in Menachos. Then the Gemara has a comment on that Mishnah. That just like we require hasmada by the lechem haponim, so too the mitzvah of Talmud Torah requires hasmada. A person is obligated to learn the hasmada. So what's the definition of hasmada? The guy's kaveh eating Talmud Torah. He learns 45 minutes a day. He learns an hour a day, and he's yotzi. He learns his daf yomi. That's it. But he say no, he's obligated to learn every free minute. He can't say learn all day and all night. You drop dead. You have to eat. You gotta take care of, you gotta make a living. You gotta take care of other things also. But the question is every 3 minutes of one's time. Is one obligated to learn every 3 minute of one's time? If he's able to, if he's not able, he's not able. Let's say a guy can't absorb so much. He doesn't have a head to concentrate for so long. So there's nothing to discuss. Okay? But let's say a person can. But he's not interested. Is the obligation to learn the Hasmada, does it mean one is obligated to learn a little bit every day? A day shouldn't go by without a little learning. But he's saying, no, a person has to learn every 3 minute of the day and the night. So the Gemara understands this as a machlokes, depending on this machlokes atanoim, as to what's the definition of Hasmada by the Lechem Aponim. If you should assume that you need Hasmada mamash by the Lechem Aponim, Tivcha shel zev, it's a Tivcha shel zev, their fists were next to their fists as they were putting on the new lechem aponim, as they were taking off the old lechem aponim. So then you would require hasmada mamish by the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as well. Even if you hold that it means they just learn a little bit every day, so the pasuk in Yoshua modifies that a little bit. It says, "V'hagisa b'yom v'loila." Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Yeshua Benun, you should learn every day and every night. So it's not just every day, a little bit every day. Let's say tefillah. The Rambam's opinion is that there's a mitzvah min haTorah to daven, and it doesn't say in Chumash how often you have to daven. It's self-understood that it means once a day, every day. You have to daven min haTorah once a day, every day. Or it says the Kohanim have to duchen. When they are called upon to recite the Birchas Kam, they're obligated to duchen. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't say how often. They can schlep them on Yontif. there's a Vasikin minyan, so they're going to wake up the kohen from asleep at 6 o'clock in the morning, he should come duchen. And then there's the next minyan, then the next minyan, the next minyan, the next minyan, so they're going to, all day long, they're going to shlep ham, come duchen, here come, you can spend all day long duchening, stand by the kohen amarav, every minute there's another minyan. So the kohen won't be able to leave, they'll always call on the kohen, duchen. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't say how often you have to duchen, so it's understood once a day, every day. And if they call upon you a second time in the day to duchen, you can say, I'm not interested, I don't want to. If you want to, it's wonderful, marvelous. So go duchen a second time. And we even paskin, machlegis, we even paskin that you say a brochen when you duchen a second time on the same day. You don't duchen a second time because you don't say a brochen the second time you duchen because you're neither obligated min atur nor mid rabbanon. So how can you say b'tzivon? There's no chiyuv to duchen a second time in the day. And we don't follow that opinion. We pass like the other opinion quoted by the Magen Avraham, that if you duchen a second time, so you do say the bracha, kirsher kedushanu b'mitzvos b'tzivon. So here also, if it doesn't say how often you have to learn Talmud Torah, so the Gemara has one time to understand, once a day, every day. The other time it says, no, it has to be b'hasmada. Like the lechem apanim has to be b'hasmada, literally. So the learning has to be b'hasmada. But the other Tanu who doesn't hold that that's Pshat Hasmada, Hasmada means on a regular basis. Regular basis means once a day, every day, for a little bit. You have to be Kavei Itim Latera, a couple of minutes every day. So the Pasuk and Yeshua modifies that and says, not enough, once a day, every day. It has to be once a day, every day, and once a night, every night. Not enough, not the same as Duchening and Tfilah, that once a day, every day, within a 24-hour period. Once a day, every day, and once a night, every night. That's why the Magen Avraham starts off Orach Chaim, the first Magen Avraham. Quotes the Shaloh, who preceded him by 100 years. So the Shaloh says, the minig always used to be that the Balabatim would sit and learn between Mincha and Ma'ariv. They would daven Mincha 25 minutes before the Shkia. Then when they would finish Mincha, they would sit down to a table and they would start learning 5 minutes before the Shkia. And they would learn till after Tzeisach Kehavim. So they killed two birds with one stone. So they learned 5 minutes before the Shkia, that's by Yom. And 5 minutes after the Tzeisach Kehavim, that's Balayla. Sure. So they learned by Yom and Balayla. They were Yotzei V'Hagisa by Yom and Balayla, according to the one opinion that it's enough if you learn a little bit every day and a little bit every night. The Pasuk has the din of the menorah, and the Gemara explains that the menorah can either be made from gold or from other metals. If it's made from gold, then you gotta go through all the gedim, kaptor, meprochim, and all of the details, and everything will be miyakeh. And if you make it from another metal, you get off easy. The gedim, kaptor, meprochim are not miyakeh, only when you're making it from gold. Can you make a menorah from other materials other than metals? So the Gemara has in the Menachos HaMachlekes HaTanoim, if you make a menorah shaleitz, you have to be careful, it shouldn't burn. It may burn. So the Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanoim about this. So one Tana, none of the Tanoim were there at the time Yehuda HaMakabi. So one Tana says, but that's what happened in the days of Yehuda HaMakabi. No, did they make a wooden menorah? There's such a tradition, they made a wooden menorah. So he says, the other Tana denies it, and he says, not true. The menorah was made from a flimsy metal, but they put wood on top that it should look fancy, to make it look pretty. But really the menorah, the kashrus of the menorah rested in the fact that there was metal that was hidden by the wood. So that's the machlokes satana. We assume it has to be made from metal. The wood is no good. The Gemara says this issue, whether wood is good or not, or unique dafkin metal, depends on a machlokes satanaim in the midrash atarin nidreshes them. Do you darshan klal or prat to klal, or you darshan ribuy miyut veribuy? That there were two traditions, the Braisa that says in the Siddur before Baruch Shomar, it says Rabbi Shmuel Hayon, Rabbi Shloshim is Atar Nideshes. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says there's a klal of prat, there's a prat of klal, and there's a klal of prat of klal. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees on the basics. He says, no, it's a riba yomiyut, and it's a miyut v'riba, and it's a riba miyut v'riba. The Gemara says that one of the many differences, la'alacha will be, whether the menorah or the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash have to be made dafka from metal, or can be made from other material as well. Now, Velvela Soloveitchik has a comment on the menorah. Rashi quotes the comment that Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a Gemara, Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Niskasha Basiyas HaMenorah. He couldn't figure out how to put all this together. So he threw all the gold into the furnace that purifies the gold, and a miracle occurred, and the menorah came out by itself. So yes, why was it so difficult? The Chashmonaim figured out how to make a menorah. And they weren't there, they didn't see this beautiful image. He was shown Kamareh Shaharisa Bahar King Tasez Hamanairah. He was shown what it's supposed to look like. The Hashmonaim probably didn't even see what it's supposed to look like. So how were they able to do it? Unless you say there was, the old menorah was there. They just made a copy of it. He was making Yesh Meyayin. Possible? So Rav Avel Soloveitchik suggests, no, Kamara Shaharisa Bahar made it more difficult. He said, Lidoros, God, all the future generations, if you make a menorah Shol Zahav, so the Halacha says you have to have Gvim Kaftor Mefrochim. If you make it from other metals, it doesn't have to have all these details, Gvim Kaftor Mefrochim. Make it from Zob, it has to be. But the Halacha doesn't require that the Gvim Kaftor Mefrochim have to look exactly the way they looked in the image that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown on Har Sinai. You make Gvim Kaftor Mefrochim, sure. But then there was a Rosh Shah in the days of the Mishkan that all of the Kelim had to be made Kamareh, Asher HaReisa B'har Kein Taseh, as Hamanorah has to be made exactly the same as the image that you saw. That's how the pasuk says. Asher Atam Areh B'har. So that Moshe Rabbeinu found very difficult. He couldn't remember exactly what was he shown on Har Sinai. So that's why for him it was difficult. But L'doros, there is no such requirement that has to be exactly as that image. As long as you throw in the proper number of Kaptorim and the proper number of Gevi'im, and it should look like a Gevi'ah. Gevi'ah is like a cup. You can have fat cups, tall cups, short cups, skinny cups. Gevi'im is Gevi'im. Kaftarim is Kaftar. It doesn't have to look like that Kaftar. It can look like any Kaftar you want. But as I rush on, Moshe Rabbeinu has had to look exactly so. The Pesukim describe the Asiyas HaChotzer and the Heichal and the Peroich is separating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It says, V'hakemosus HaMishkan Kimishpato, you should set up the Mishkan according to its rules and regulations. Kimishpato. So the Talmud Yerushalmi has a famous comment on this, Kimishpato. Mishpat has the connotation of Eila HaMishpat HaMishatasim Lufneim, Adin Torah, Dini Momenes, Adin Torah. What Shaykh Adin Torah v'hakemosus HaMishkan Kimishpato? Who's the Din Torah between? So the Yerushalmi says that Din Torah between the different Krushim, that the right hand side of the Azara was more Mekudish than the left hand side. That's Tzofen. Shchitas Kotchi Kotchim has Shchitasim HaTzofen v'kibodam v'klisharis batzofen. That the right hand side of the Azara is Tzofen because you're facing Mayrav. When we daven, our shuls are facing Mizrach, but then Beis HaMikdash is facing Mayrav. So the Tzofen is to the right. So the right hand side of the Azara had more Kedusha. So the Gemara says those Kirushim Shazahu Lehinasim Batsafoin, you're not allowed to switch. They kept on taking down the Mishkan and putting it up. They kept on traveling and our boy Mshon in the Midbar. They were Membeis Masos. There were more locations than there were years that they stayed in the Midbar. Every month in Gandanishtik they were always traveling. They stayed in one place for 38 years, Rashi says. 37 years they stayed in one place. And then the other 41 stops, the other 40 locations were all in the course of 1 year, 2 years. Every 2 weeks, every week and a half, they were going somewhere else. So every time they took down the Mishkan, they put it up. So actually, almost all the Krushim looked exactly the same, except for those that were by Yarcha Saim, the corner Krushim were different. But all the others were exactly the same size, the Krushim with the Adonim on the bottom, with everything. So you can interchange everything. You can use the Krushim that used to be on this side, you'll put on that side. Those that used to be on that side, put on this side. So that's what Yerushalmi says, no, you're not allowed to do that. They'll make a Din Torah with you. Keresh, Chazacha, Lehinasim Batzafon, Lehinasim Badorim, because Tzafon is more important. So some Achrayim say, when you have a talis, which is a rectangular shape, sometimes the talis is a square shape, so it doesn't make a difference which way you hold the talus, whether you hold this side up or that side up or sideways. If it's a square, you can hold, it'll be exactly the same. Just pull the tzitzis out, these sideways instead of hanging down. So just rearrange the tzitzis. So some achrayim write, you have to put something on the top of the talus to know that this is the top, and the top should always be on top. Why? Because of this. Keresh is zochel leinasim atzof and leinasim dor. Other achrayim disagree. They say, what's a tzushtel? Tzofen has more kedusha than darim. The right-hand half of the Azor is kosher for Shechitas Kodesh, the left-hand side is not. But the top of the talus has more chashivas than the bottom of the talus. That's why you put an Atorah. Why do you put an Atorah on top? the first the minig developed that you put a piece of cloth on top, just to know this is this side up. Well, what do you care? This side up is going to work if you hold it upside down. It's not a refrigerator. What's wrong if you have the other side up? The answer is no. Kerish is zochel. So many akhrenim disagree. What's the difference? The top of the talus, the bottom of the talus. The whole talus is the same thing. So once they, once some were makbid to insist on having an atorah to remember this side up, so then, since that atorah is serving a religious purpose, so some made it into a silver atorah. So it's a hider mitzvah. It's serving a religious purpose to remember which side up, so you've got to make it silver. So then some akhrenim write, that's a hashash. Once you have part of the talus has silver and you put it on your head or you put it on your shoulders, however you wear it, so if you have a beged, let's say a guy wears a tie or wears a scarf that's only for the purpose of covering the neck, covering the head, it's not chayv and tzitzis. So if you have a talus that has an atar, that atar costs more than the whole talus costs. The atar is like silver. So the main, it's not really true, but someone might think that the main purpose of the talus is the atar. So if that's the main purpose, and then maybe it's not even chayv and tzitzis. So that's why the Ateres Akenim on the bottom of the page in the Big Shulchan Aruch has a recommendation that the Chassidish Rebbes do, that you should, if you have a silver atar on the top, then you got to have another silver atar in the middle to show that it's not that the top is the most important. The whole talus is the middle is also important, and therefore it's still chayv and tzitzis. Because you're only going to have a silver atar on the top, then it's a shayla asvar, maybe it's not chayv and tzitzis. Anyway, this Yerushalmi, the Akamos has a Mishkan, Kemishpatoi, the Chayes the Mishpat Yeshba, Akamos a Mishkan. What's the Mishpat? What's the Didi Mamanis? What's the Din Torah? So the Din Torah is the Kerish that was Zachel, the Hinasim et Safan, doesn't want to lose its Chazoke. So this is the source for Chazoke and Mitzvah. But the Baal Tekea, who's been blowing Shofar for the last couple of years, and the Baal Shachris, who's been davening for Anamid, and the Baal Kare, and the Baal Neila, whatever, whoever has the schus to say the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha for the last 5 years, so you're not allowed to take away the schus from that person. This is one of the sources. Usually the Achrayim quote a different source for Chazaka and Mitzvah. There's a Mishnah, there's a series of Mishnahs in the middle of the Gittin, give a list of all the Takonis from Tnei Tikkun HaOmer. So one of the Takonis that's mentioned in the Mishnah is that when you have an area that has an Erev in it, so you have to leave a box of matzahs in somebody's home. So the bias that they always put the Erev in, and let's say next year someone else wants that they should put the Erev in his house. And for the last 5 years, last 10 years, they've always been putting the Erev in this guy's house. And then when I moved into my apartment on Bennett Avenue, so it's a big apartment building, there are a few Shomer Shabbos there. So there was one man who was an invalid. He was an older person, and he was never away. He couldn't go anywhere. It was an old Mr. Schuster, so he was always there. So the other people didn't want to have the Erev in their home, because if they go away and they lock their apartment, the other Shomer Shabbos don't have access to the box of matzahs. And the Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmash, so the Erev is no good. And this guy was always there. So that's why they always had the Erev in his apartment. So the Gemara has this, the Mishnah has in Gittin, this takana, that the bayis, shemenichem, bayis ha-Erev, he now got to switch the Erev to put it into a different house. Because people would think, hey, must have done some Averev. There must be some reason why they took away the mitzvah from him, why they took away this good. That's what the Achrayim have, the whole institution of Chazaka and Mitzvah is based on these two sources. This Yerushalmi on this Pasuk and that Mishnah in Gittin. The Pesukim tell us that the Paroiches served a double function. Vdila Paroiches Lachen Ben HaKodesh Uven Kodesh HaKodoshim. It's a Havdolah. That's in Shabtah Chavav, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. And then there's another Pasuk. I gotta look for it. I didn't look for it. Then there's another pasuk that says that the paroiches is for the purpose of covering over on the aron. For covering over on the aron. Even though it's not laying on the aron, but it's to cover the aron. These are two different roles of the paroiches. The din is when you do, normally a korban chatos, you do all the korbanos are brought on the outside mizbeach. Once in a long while, there's a rare institution of chatos apnimios. When you bring a korban chatos, you do the zrika in front of the paroiches. So on Yom Kippur you do like that, and there are a couple of karbonis, Parhalam Davashal Tzibur, Parkoy Mashiach, a couple of other karbonis we do this week in front of the Paroiches. So there's a difference, you look in the Rambam, the Mishlam Melech points out, there is a difference between the Zrikas on Yom Kippur in front of the Paroiches, as opposed to the Zrikas on the other Chatoas HaPrimios in front of the Paroiches. On Yom Kippur the Rambam says you have to be Mechave and Bein Abadim. When the Koyin Godel, Kain Godel, on Yom Kippur you need Kain Godel, and the Kain Godel does this, the Hazor, in front of the paroiches, he has to do it bein abadim, facing the orin. And the other chatos hapnimius, the Mishlama points out, the Rambam never says that, just in front of the paroiches. Doesn't have to be dafka over the air in the place which is the bein abadim. So apparently, they're two different dinim. And all other chatos hapnimius, the halacha says, you have to be mazeh in front of the paroiches, which is behivdilah, so the whole paroiches is behivdilah. But on Yom Kippur, the Hazor is in front of the Parochas, which serves as the Kisui for the Oroi. So the Kisui for the Oren is the part that's Ben Abadim, Davke Ben Abadim. Rav Chaim has in his Sefer, there's a famous problem in the Rambam that the Mishnah Melech points out. There is a Machlekes Hatanoim in Yuma, I think it's around Afayin or so. That Kol HaBodes Yom Kippurim have to be done ala Seder. And if you Mishana the Seder, so you got to start all over again. The Seder is Ma'akev. On Pesach night, the Seder is not Ma'akev. If you eat the Mor before the Matzah B'di Yevid, you Yotze. But on Yom Kippur, the Avodis, the Seder is Ma'akev. So the Tanoim have a Machloikis, is the Seder only Ma'akev on those parts of Avodis which are done in Big Day Love on Lifnim, or even in the Avodis that are done Bachutz. So the Rambam Paskins only, the Rambam there's a Stirim. The Rambam there's a Stirim. The Rambam talks about some Avodis that are done in the Heichol, that the Seder is Miyakim, and other Rabbis, the Seder is not Miyakim. So the Lech Mishnah does know how to make heads or tails out of this. So Rab Chaim says the answer is obvious. The Rambam splits the Hechel. Hechel is in front of the Kosher Kadosh. So the Rambam holds the Hazos in front of the Paroiches are really related to the Oroi. That's considered as if he's Mazen in front of the Oroi. But the Hazos on the Mizbach HaKtores, that's Kilachutz. That does relate to the Kodesh of Gemurah, Sirius Onish, Skila straight for Herik Chenek, so we assume whatever gets Skila is a Mohammed de Gaber, then what gets Sreifa. Whatever gets Sreifa is Mohammed de Gaber, then what gets Chenek, and so on. And the Gemurah has other Kalalim to try to figure out which what the hierarchy is. Okay, maybe we'll stop here.